This episode contains content that may be offensive or triggering to some viewers. We speak about drug use, specifically the use of cannabis and psychedelics, as well as addiction. Viewer discretion is advised.
So, Mike, thank you for being the second guest on Coach Kama. Last time we had Zach, who's behind the camera now. He's over there looking comfortable. And today is a special day. I was walking over to the water fountain just before sitting down, and I realized that tomorrow is 420. And 420 has changed in significance for me over the years. And tomorrow, it's the three-year anniversary of my Nana's passing. My Nana was my mom's mom, or is my mom's mom. And she passed away from cancer. It was really sudden. And I remember, this is about maybe 10 days before she passed away, we went out on the back patio and we rolled up a joint. She had had some trouble sleeping. And we smoked. Then the next morning, I remember checking on her. And before I could say anything, she grabs me. She's like, "That's some of the best sleep I've gotten in a very long time." And I was like, wow, like this stuff is awesome. It works. And after that, I was writing my graduate thesis at the time at Georgetown University. Shout out the SCS at Georgetown University, Professor Farina and Professor Goldwater. Like, y'all really, really pushed me and helped me out, so thank you. And the paper was called Righteous High, the Moral and Economic Case for Cannabis in the MBA. And I talk about how it could be used as a tool for wellness in the MBA and as a vehicle for black investment in order to right some of the wrongs that were done as a result of the war on drugs. And I think as of 2017, 3% of the legal industry was owned and operated by black people, whereas 81% was owned and operated, owned and founded by white people. It's a huge disparity. And I think black people are locked up at a 3-to-1 rate or 4-to-1 rate, even though black and white people use cannabis at the same rates. And that was back before I gave my life to Jesus. I was familiar with Jesus, and then I put hand to the plow, let's say a year or so after that, and the Holy Spirit started speaking to me about different things and convicting me for certain things. And I want to be clear about conviction. Conviction pulls us closer to God, and condemnation pushes us away from God. And I'm thinking about how this was preached at our church last week, how Judas, when he betrayed Jesus and he realized what he had done, he ran away from God and ended up hanging himself. But Peter, he ended up running towards God or swimming towards God once he realized that he had made that mistake. And even after that, and it's so important to be around community, to be around the right people to sharpen you. And with this, I feel like I still see a benefit in using cannabis. I just have a completely different framework as to how I want to go about using it within my professional career as an athlete, now as a coach and a communicator. And I want to shine light on something that's been taboo for a very long time and something that people feel like we can't speak about and have these conversations on. I've studied it and I wrote a very, very good paper. I'll say that. Yeah, I posted it on, it's available in the link tree in my Instagram bio if you want to go and look at it. And I talk about so many different aspects of the plant and open my eyes up to all the possibilities of what can be done. However, I want to do it in a way where I'm not numbing myself, because I got to a point and I realized this maybe 7 to 8 months after my Nana had passed away, I realized that I was numbing myself emotionally by smoking weed after a certain point. So I would go to the gym, hoop, train. I was living out in LA at the time, and Righteous High was going to be a cannabis company. And as soon as I get back from the gym, I no longer had a basketball in my hands and I had to focus on something else. I was there with my thoughts. And I thought I was this self-aware person. I had all these things figured out. And it got to this point where I realized I'm watching Queen's Gambit. Have you seen Queen's Gambit?
I have.
Yeah, so there's Beth Harmon, like, she's a fantastic chess prodigy, and numbing herself with these pills. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me. He's like, "You're doing that to yourself." And I'm like, oh, like what I feel after 5 p.m. when I get back to the gym is sadness. That's what that is. It's grief. It's unprocessed emotions and all these things. And I was turning to these vices in order to numb myself. And I know I'm not the only one. And thank God I've come to that realization. And I still know that this CBD specifically, and yes, THC through the entourage effect, which we'll talk more about, can help a lot of people. And it's helped me in terms of taking care of my body in a sustainable way, because my father, even he developed an opioid addiction, which led him to getting a kidney transplant in the early 2000s. So I've seen both sides of it. And I know that this can help. And I want to be a part of the discussion that makes it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And first off, you know, thank you for having me on to talk about the CBD.
My pleasure, man.
Kind of explain, you've talked and touched on a lot of great subjects, you know, from Nana, my grandma, kind of similar experience where I, you know, had to end up giving her some CBD in a secretive manner. Mm-hmm. And she tells me after the fact, wow, that was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, to try to break some of these stereotypes that do exist.
Yeah.
And like, we end of the day, it's one of God's plans.
Yeah.
Everything on this planet is for us to be healed, including, you know, the THC in the right amounts, but anything used in an abusive manner can have negative outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
The beautiful thing about CBD is that you get all the benefits that you might want without any of those negatives,
mm-hmm.
Like you're talking about the numbing, etc.
Yeah.
CBD being one of the strongest anti-inflammatories found in nature.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great, man. So something that was tough for me to come to terms with after a while is the fact that there's so many aspects of the plant that are, yeah, this is good and this is bad. And we talked about tension in the last episode, specifically with the word and, like how multiple things can be true at the same time.
Right.
God is good, and the season that I just got out of was really tough. And tomorrow is the 3-year anniversary of Nana's passing, which brings up some emotions, and we're sitting down recording a podcast, which is awesome, and I'm glad we're recording this episode. All these things are true, right? And I heard it said this way, that within the church, we don't do a great job of using data, of analyzing science and studies and facts that come out. And facts are different than the truth, right? Like Jesus is always going to be the way, the truth, and the light. And I like looking at the Bible as a hardware manual. And what I mean by that is, over the 2,000 years since that book has been written, 2,000 plus years, nothing has changed. Like, God is consistent. God is never going to change. The hardware, our human hardware, our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings. In Ecclesiastes, it says that there is nothing new under the sun.
Yeah, I believe that wholeheartedly.
Nothing new under the sun.
Right.
Still, TikTok wasn't around 100 years ago, 2,000 years ago. Nor was Instagram, nor was Teslas and all of these things. It's changed over time. The software is different, but the hardware is the same. And I feel like with everything that comes out, all of these new technologies, which really aren't new, it's important that we address the hardware issue with the Word of God first. And then I see it as a filter, right? So we pass this information, these studies, through the filter of the Word of God. What checks, what passes, what works. And the Word is so dense and so big that we really need to rely on the Holy Spirit in order to understand all of these things, because there's no way I can...
Only human.
Yeah, I'm only human. I can't reference every single word verbatim. Like, I'm sure maybe I get to a point, I'm 120 years old and I know the book like the back of my hand. Still, the book is going to be reading me and changing over time. Or changing me over time, let's say.
And we're still only human.
Exactly.
Nature, so
exactly.
Have to defer to the greater power.
Exactly. Exactly. So with CBD, I want to hear more about your grandmother's story, because I remember we spoke on the phone. It's such a powerful story, and there's a reason why you are doing what you're doing with Physicians Preferred and have had the success that you're having.
I'd like to give you a background in a bigger scope, even.
Sure.
How I even got started into the industry. So I'm a fourth-generation farmer. My dad farms here. My grandparents farmed in Cuba.
Mm.
We lost everything
mm.
when the regime and the communism took all the property rights from the mm-hmm. people. They took all our valuables. and we had to flee the country. And with that in mind, we knew what we were about and how to create a life for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So my grandparents worked hard. Mm-hmm. We created the farms here, and we got back, you know, a piece of what we had lost in paradise. Mm-hmm. And my whole life, I was raised understanding that, you know, the struggle. Mm-hmm. You take it away from me, ultimately, we're in the best country in the world to get it back.
Yeah.
Because we can make the decision to work hard and get it.
Yeah.
It just instilled a passion in me, first of all, with plants and the hard work ethic. My grandma also had a doctorate in pharmacology.
Oh, wow.
So we, you know, when she came over here, she lost her license. She showed me what it was to work hard. She spent 2.5 years just studying every day, every day, every day until she was able to get her license. Mm. You know, and it's just that hard work. Anything is achievable.
Yeah.
If you believe in two things, yourself and God.
Mm-hmm.
And the only other thing they ever did but work was work at the St. Kevin's church, you know? So they always instilled that hard work ethic, the faith in Christ, and the belief that in yourself, you have every possible tool necessary to succeed. Mm. I set off on my path to become a doctor. I studied biology, and down my path, once I did get into medical school, I found that the institutions were a little bit different than what you'd imagine. Instead of trying to treat core symptoms or problems of things, they're dealing with the symptoms. Mm. With pharmaceuticals, mm-hmm. they're dealing other kind of issues, secondary side effects, and just causing a bigger mess than you originally had.
Yeah.
When you can go back to very basic things, eating right, you know, treating yourself right,
yeah.
and it's going to solve a lot of these issues, plus plant-based medicine. Plant-based medicine, there's in the Bible, it says there's a solution for everything that humans, you know, any ailment that we're going to have, it's in the world, and it's for you, it's for your harvest, it's for us to consume. So I honestly followed my heart. I dropped out of medical school, and the biggest medicinal plant at the time was marijuana. I moved to California, and I began growing medical marijuana. Mm-hmm. I did that for a number of years, and I became numb. Mm-hmm. I felt the numbness.
Yeah.
And I was dealing with medical issues that I had, but I was a zombie 90% of the time. I couldn't form meaningful relationships. I was just in my bubble until, you know, I was actually snapped out of it by a friend of mine. I was visiting Colorado to see another operation where I was consulting on, and I had a headache because I have severe food allergies. He goes, try this CBD. I took 2 steps, and I felt 100% different change. Mm. You know, I had a headache. Soreness, my stomach had been.
What do you mean by 2 steps?
I took 2 steps, physical steps.
Oh, wow.
I took the CBD. I literally took 2 steps, and 2 is my number.
Okay.
I took 2 steps, and I felt a world that my headache had disappeared, and I'm like, man, what is this? There's something to this, and I'm not high. You know, fast forward a couple weeks, I'm talking to my partners in California. I go, listen, I've discovered CBD. I think it's good, you know, the way of the future. It's not getting people high, and it's healing. This is what I want to do. We sold off the marijuana company and started in Colorado.
Mm.
I bought a 1,500 acre property in Colorado. It straddled 2 counties. We helped create legislation with the counties and things like that. And we spent about 2.5 years creating the genetics that would be what you have now today's physicians preferred. Because at the time, all there was industrial hemp.
Mm-hmm.
It was CBD and in very low amounts with no other cannabinoids, so there wasn't any of the entourage effect that we had previously mentioned. These plants are also bioaccumulators. So anything in the soil, it's going to pick up. They use these in Fukushima to absorb the radiation out of the soil.
Wow.
I mean, lead, molybdenum, pesticides, it's going to stick and store it in the mitochondria.
Wow.
So it's very important that when I did do any of, you know, the hemp or the marijuana, we're going to do it in a way that was as safe as possible, with as little side effects as possible, as clean as possible, and make it as affordable as possible. So that's kind of how Physicians Preferred started. Because of the way that we were manufacturing at the time as well, one of the largest merchant processors actually came to us like, listen, we're going to require anybody who processes with us to manufacture with you.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we were able to build out the company to our specifications. So we're solar powered. All the products are vegan. We try to give back more than we take.
That's fire.
Yeah, and you know, the rest has been history. We're you know, over 20,000 doctors across the U.S. We sell to multiple countries, and we just really try to stick in the physician lane because ultimately, this is not something that you're going to take and go party with your friends.
Yeah,
this is not a joint. You're not going to smoke this. You're not going to vape this.
Yeah,
you're going to take this, you're going to feel good, and you're going to not feel like as if you had taken a Percocet or something. It's the absence of the negative.
Yeah.
You feel a better version of yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm a very big believer in it. It's changed my life. Mm-hmm. I used to take 20 plus pills for, you know, autoimmune issues and allergies I have. And this has changed the whole game for me.
That's huge, man. So something that, a couple things. So our family's had a homeopathic physician since my dad's kidney transplant in the early 2000s. And we go to him on a regular basis, and he's recommending plant medicines that we wouldn't think about before. And the remedies that I'm used to growing up, olive leaf extract, oil of oregano, grapefruit seed extract, all of these things that have amazing benefits, and we're not popping pills. We're not having to harm our bodies in a adverse way over the long term. And my dad nowadays, he'll take, since his kidney transplant, he has to have certain immunosuppressants, which are pharmaceuticals, which are pills. And he has a balance of those and the homeopathic remedies, let's say. And something that was really fascinating to me about cannabis and my study of it, and when I was writing this paper, is that there are no cannabinoid receptors in our brainstem. And our brainstem, for those of you who don't know, our brainstems are in control of the way we breathe, our heart rate, things like that, things that we don't even have to think about. They just happen. There's no cannabinoid receptors in our brainstem. There are opioid receptors in our brainstem. So the reason people are dying from these opioid overdoses is because they take too many opioids and their brainstems are overstimulated by these pills that they're taking. Then their heart rate slows down, it stops, their breathing stops, all of these things. I think there's a word for that, like auto, what is it?
When the heart's...
No, not cardiac arrest, but like there's a term for these types of functions, like neurosystems, something like that. I got to reread my paper. But there are cannabinoid receptors in other parts of your body, and we all have an endocannabinoid system. So all mammals on Earth, I mean, the mammals only on Earth, I guess. we all have endocannabinoid systems, and in our ECS, there are two ECSs, ECS1, ECS2. And in these systems, we can regulate homeostasis in the body by using the right cannabinoids. And the combination of these things is, we're just scratching the surface as to what we know about the endocannabinoid system. And it's really fascinating.
I mean, the endocannabinoid system, just to tell you, if you follow the blueprint of any creator, we have a receptor in every cell, except the ones that might cause overdose and problems.
Yeah.
And they regulate every system from pain, you know, to your anxiety. It's an anxiolytic in the CB1 receptors, brings your brain to homeostasis.
Yeah.
It regulates hunger.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're overweight, it helps you drop it. If you're underweight, it helps you eat. It's pretty incredible in that respect. And then you could even target certain receptors. So if you put on a topical, you're hitting CB2 receptors. So you're downregulating the nerve impulses. It's telling the body, hey, chill. It's telling the brain, stop creating the precursor that causes inflammation. Mm. And the inflammation that's already here, we're going to deal with it.
Yeah.
It's like the perfect combination of what you would need to heal in a small, like very convenient package.
And dude, there's so much stigma attached to this plant. And a lot of it comes from how, really, the war on drugs and how that started in the early part of the 1900s. And something that sticks out to me is the name. Names are so important, right? So marijuana is a term invented by, let's say, William Randolph Hearst. I think this was in like 1910. And William Randolph Hearst had this million-acre ranch on the border of Mexico and the U.S. And in 1910 was also the Mexican Revolution. And when the Mexican Revolution was taking place, Pancho Villa and who was a Mexican general and all of his soldiers, they took over this million-acre ranch. And William Randolph Hearst, he was a newspaper tycoon. And he was in control of a lot of the media in the U.S. at the time. And in order to create xenophobia within the country, he changed the word cannabis on all the publications to marijuana, which is a foreign-sounding word.
Yeah, Marijuana.
Marijuana. So it's really interesting because there are certain words that we hear, like even when And this is how like crafty the enemy is. So like, even when reading the word, there are certain words that I would hear or see that would cause me to feel like, oh, like I lust, let's say, like, oh, like I gotta get away from that. Yes, I'm meant to run from lust. I'm meant to run from all sexual temptation, and I'm not making light of this at all. What I am saying is it's important to understand the why we're not doing that thing rather than using a scare tactic in order to get somebody to make a decision as to why we're meant to do it, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with Reefer Madness.
Yeah.
They suggested that you would lose your mind and not realize that someone else is framing you for murder.
Yeah.
I mean, if anybody who's consumed cannabis can tell you right now, you know, it's a joke. That would never happen. It's not a...
So I will say this. The times when I was numbing myself and I knew that I was numbing myself and I still did it anyways, I felt this conviction, and that was this guilt, right? And the enemy can twist that guilt and pull me away, especially when I'm not sober-minded. And the Bible says that we're meant to be alert and sober-minded. For the enemy, the devil, is around, is lurking like a roaring lion, waiting for an opportunity to pounce. And it's so important because what I was saying earlier about words being important, he is like a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He's like a roaring lion. And Jesus is referred to as the Lion of Judah. So he is a lion, right? The words and the verbiage is so important, and only through the Holy Spirit we're able to read and discern these things. And when I've been in seasons before where I felt like, oh, I could only read the Bible, and I'm getting out of a season now where I'm learning to be less religious. I'm learning to have more of a relationship and be less judgmental than I've been in the past, which is... It's different for me because I'm used to growing up. I grew up in a way in which, and I've been around sports my whole life, so it's like a regiment, a routine. I got to do this, 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 this. But within the kingdom of God and a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not about the religion. It's about the relationship. And I heard it said this way, like as pastors, I believe I have a call to be a pastor. And this is my pulpit. This is where I preach from. As pastors, people go to pastors for the theology. Pastors are not the way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to Jesus. Jesus is the way to God. And one of the most vivid descriptions of this is when the curtain tears after Jesus dies in the temple in Jerusalem. The curtain tears from top to bottom. And behind the curtain was the holiest of holies. And that's where the presence of God was. When that curtain tore, when Jesus died, it meant that God's presence, there's nothing in between us and him. Jesus is the way to get to him. And when Jesus was on the cross, his last words were, "It is finished." So there's nothing we need to do in order to tap into that, whether it be smoking weed, whether it be getting really high, taking mushrooms, which is something that I've done before, and really trying to tap into this higher source, higher power to be able to speak to God. The way you get there is Jesus. So I felt led and compelled to share that. Hey everybody, we want to take a quick commercial break to let you know about a special offer that we have with Coach Kama and Physicians Preferred.
That's right. Save 33% at checkout with code COACH. We have topicals, tinctures, and sleep aids.
So again, go to physicianspreferred.com, type in the promo code COACH for 33% off. Thank you. Now back to the show. But yeah, man, with Coach Kama, what we're about is learning, helping people figure out their roles, understand their roles, and how to play that role excellently. So in this season, what is your role? I know you just...
I gave birth to a beautiful baby girl.
My role is... congratulations.
Thank you. That is the one thing on my mind at all moments.
That's awesome.
5-day-old little baby girl, and I have an older 2-year-old boy. I just want to be the best father possible.
That's awesome, you know? Man.
Father first above everything else. Yeah. Business owner, everything. Forget everything I've ever accomplished. Yeah. That to me is the most beautiful thing I've ever done. And this season, it's about survival. Mm. Anybody who's had kids, especially a second one, understands it's just a lot of lack of sleep, but ultimately it's worth it.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, I mean, I find myself listening to a lot of like Kanye's God Is as just a motivator to like, because waking up 5 times a night, you know what I mean? And I have to remind myself, it's like, thank you for this fight, Jesus, because what is the reward? I have two beautiful kids that are going to live in God's light. They're going to be, they're going to be religious. They're going to understand God. They're going to, and they're going to understand him as I understand him. Because while I respect the Bible and I grew up around the Bible, I think there's something to be said about centralized authority. I think there's more to God. And like you said, you can't be so strict about certain things because God is everything. God is love no matter what. You know what I mean? So I think, and as I say, in God, all things are possible. I believe everything is God. Whether it be a bad thing or a good thing. So you have to say thank you for both.
There's a verse in the Bible that comes to mind. It's rejoice in the Lord always. There's this really good book. It's called Soul Care. And I'm reading it right now. And in this book, it talks about rejoicing about everything, like the good, the bad, the ugly. Anytime we see something, rejoice, rejoice. And there have been times when I've just been around the city and I felt some type of way, or I see something that makes me feel uneasy or, you know, itches my flesh in a certain type of way. And I'm like, praise God. Like, God, you made this person this way. God, you made this person to draw this sign on this wall. God bless them.
For a reason.
Rejoice. Thank you, God, for this. And if Romans, if, not only if, like, I believe it is true. It says in Romans 8:28, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, those who are called according to his purpose. He works all things for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. So my Nana's passing 3 years ago. The things we see on a daily basis that make us feel uncomfortable, God is working all these things for our good. And we can rejoice in these moments, and we can rejoice when we're being persecuted, when we're being tempted, when all of these things are happening, when we're being tested, because we know that God's purpose is going to prevail, and his purpose is good, it's pleasing, and it's for my benefit at the end of the day.
It's the journey.
Yeah.
And I mean, we could strive, say you're born as a fallible creature, a human. What is more worthy of the kingdom of heaven? A creature that's fallible and works every day to be against that and be a good and virtuous thing, or somebody who's born virtuous and never is just virtuous by nature, which is more admirable?
What do you mean by that specifically?
Imagine an entity that is by its very nature fallible and not perfect.
Yeah.
It works every day to live up to God's expectation, working hard, sacrificing, trying to be as pure, as perfect as the creation should be, right?
Yeah.
Is that, I feel that that's more admirable as opposed to something that would have been born perfect, an angel, perfect in every way, that doesn't have to work hard to be, it just is.
There's a story that Jesus tells that comes to mind, and he talks about two servants, maybe they're brothers. There's one who the father tells him to go out into the field essentially and go to work, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to go do that, and he doesn't go. And there's another one who he tells go out into the field and go to work. And he says he's not going to go, but eventually he goes. And Jesus' question, and I'm paraphrasing, is like, which one did the right thing? It's like, well, the one who said no and then ended up doing it. And I mean, our bodies are telling us no every single time. Our bodies are telling us, hey, do this, do that. Cuss this person out for cutting you off. All of these things. And when we make that choice, when we make the choice to love, right? And it's not even on our own strength, it's on his strength. And that's always encouraging to me, because it's like, I ain't got to do this, it's him.
All right.
You know?
Who am I to judge?
Exactly. Exactly. It don't make
Everybody's got their own thing.
Exactly. And like, the Holy Spirit's been bringing to my attention lately, bro, that like, when there are things that people are, let's say somebody does something, right? And I'm like, God, like, this person is like, remember when you did that to this person? And I'm like, oh yeah. It's kind of like this circle of like, I just got to chill. I got to chill. I just got to be there, be present. Because to be human is to, I heard it preached this way, to be human is to hurt others and to receive hurt. It's going to happen.
It's a human experience.
Yeah.
I mean, one of my best friends, I lost him at 19. That sent me on a journey.
Yeah.
A spiritual journey.
Yeah.
And I lost God for a while, you know, why? Well, how could he do this to me? But as time goes on, you know, you see the miracles in every little thing.
Yeah.
You just have to pay attention.
Yeah.
From my kids.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get emotional, but.
Yeah. You got the tissues right here.
But just thinking, I would not be where I am today.
Yeah.
without him, because he's the one who gives the strength. He's the one who allowed me to, you know, meet my wife,
yeah,
create my children as perfectly as they are.
Yeah.
You know, he's the perfect architect, he's the perfect creator.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel that I'm closer to God because of it.
That's good.
Because once you question and you don't just blindly follow. I went to Catholic school for my whole life. I was just, I went with a path. It was what it was.
Yeah.
But I didn't know if I felt it in my heart until I chose to feel it in my heart.
Mm.
Because the whole time I'd been told, this is the truth.
Yeah.
How well do you know the truth unless you question it?
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, bro, that's so good. Like, something that's been coming to mind lately is that God doesn't mind our questions. He minds being questioned.
Facts.
And there's a difference between the two.
Yep.
We can ask him questions all the time. And I'm in a season of learning not to ask questions and confuse it with complaining. Because you could be like, God, but this, and I have to take a step back and realize, and in this season, my prayers look completely different than past seasons. And it's felt kind of uncomfortable. Not kind of, it's felt uncomfortable. Because my prayers now are mostly me listening. It's not me speaking. And this silence is like, yo, like, my mind is clear. My mind is clear. And I want to encourage somebody with this. So, like, a few weeks ago, I had a friend visiting from, two friends visiting from Brazil. Tamo junto, mano. And we prayed, and the Lord delivered me from anxiety completely. And I have this peace and clarity in my mind that I haven't felt before. And it feels like I'm walking on new legs. And it's like, wow, like, I didn't know it could be this quiet. I didn't know it could be this peaceful. I didn't know this was a thing. And it's like, what's wrong? And this is another thing that I heard preached recently. Like, we can get used to the dysfunction. And just because something is working for us doesn't mean it's working the way God intended for it to work. I think about our bodies, right? I think about the way we eat, I think about the way we interact, I think about the way we sit down a lot as human beings, especially in the sedentary culture we have here in Miami, let's say, depending on what you do, depending on what your job is. For me, I'm in a season of transition. So my job, I was running around and running miles a day and training and running and jumping and sprinting and laterally moving and all of these things. And I'm no longer doing it the same way I did. Still, I have to find time to take care of my body. Because in this season, I still have a body the same way in the last season I had a body. That's something that's never going to change. It's going to, and I want to help people, I want to help athletes show up and be ready for every season of life in every arena of life. Because my callings are to communicate and connect people. Communicating last season looked like screen left, switch, we're going to hedge this, my board, run, go down the lane, all of these things. I'm not speaking that way anymore. I'm speaking with a microphone in my hand in front of a camera. It's different. I'm still communicating. I could still use those gifts in a different way. I could still use the knowledge that I've gained over this time. And we talked about Exodus 4:2 last week. And what God asked Moses is, what's in your hand? When he asked him, what's in your hand? He didn't have to go anywhere to do the miracles that he was going to do, that God was going to do through him. He already had it on him. So as we step into this new season, as I step into this new season, this material, the stuff that we're speaking about, this is stuff that God has given me up until this point. And it's encouraging knowing that I'm prepared for this situation. And I want to talk about names again. Right, the importance of names and words. So in this season, I've been going by Alonzo. And a friend of mine brought it to my attention. And this is a guy I met in New Zealand. And he asked me what my name Alonzo means. Because I've been going by Trey. And Trey means the third Alonzo. And he's like, Alonzo means ready for battle. He looked it up. It's like, wow, what battle am I in right now? And it's really a spiritual battle. The spiritual battle is of the mind, and it's speaking about these things, and I just got out of a really tough season. And, dude, it's encouraging because our name is, I was reading this book, I think it was in Think and Grow Rich. You read Think and Grow Rich?
No.
Really good book. And We got to add that to the list. We got to put a bookshelf. And Think and Grow Rich, the author Dale Carnegie, he talks about the most powerful word in the world, right? It's somebody's name. Like if you're walking down the street and I yell, Mike, you're going to stop and turn around. I got you to stop and turn around by using one word, not fire, not run, not whatever it is. I used your name. And biblically, I think it's so fire how this is connecting. It's the most powerful name, the name above all names, is not the Son of Man. It's not the Messiah. It's Jesus. And the meaning of Jesus is God saves. So I guess my challenge for those of you who are watching is, like, what does your name mean? Like, what are you speaking over your life? What are people speaking over you? And what are you letting them speak over you? And you're with yourself the majority of the day. We can't run from ourselves. How are we talking to ourselves? How are we referring to ourselves?
And it sails the sweetest word out your mouth is their name.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, you remember somebody's name in the sales industry. It's like, whoa, like you remember my name. Like I used to work in hospitality here in Miami. And I worked for this company called Boucher Brothers. And at Boucher Brothers, I was managing at the one hotel on South Beach. And I would work on the weekends. And some weekends, we would have guests stay for the weekend. They'd be there for a bachelorette party. They'd be there for vacation. And this is right when the borders opened for the after the pandemic. So you got a lot of Canadians coming down, a lot of Brits coming down who were locked up for a very long time.
Stir crazy.
Yeah, stir crazy. So they're down here in Miami. And, bro, just remembering their name, the weekend they're huge. Down here, is huge.
Yeah.
I still have contacts in my phone of some of these people, and we don't stay in contact anymore. Still, that time when they were down here, I remember their name, and I made them feel important because they are important, right? At the end of the day, they're God's children. And being able to recognize that, communicate that, and help them feel known, seen, and heard in that moment, in that time when they were down here, means the world, bro. And I want more people to come to this city and feel that. I know people come down here to Miami and act a fool. I know they go to live. I know some people go to Tootsie's. I know people go to a bunch of places in order to live it up in Miami, right? Miami is made up of people. Miami is made up of a lot of different communities. We're a very diverse city, but we're a very diverse city, and we're also very segregated.
Yeah.
And the more we can create this sense of identity, like, yo, like, this is where I'm from, like, this is home, regardless of me being Cuban, regardless of me being Colombian, regardless of me being African-American, like, this is where I'm from Miami, this is my city, and I want you to come down here and respect this. Dude, I was in New Zealand, and on the way over to New Zealand, something that stuck out to me, in the in-flight video, there was a notice that, like, hey, we're checking your golf clubs and your outdoor shoes and all of these things when you come over, just to make sure you don't bring any seeds from another place.
Oh yeah.
And bring it into our land, because our land is that good, it's that green, and it's that fertile. And it's a saying, being a tidy Kiwi. And there was this phrase, this Modi proverb, and it's, we're not inheriting the land from our ancestors, we're borrowing it from our children. And that's such a fire way to think about it. Like, yo, like, this ain't ours. We're borrowing it from our kids. Like, my kids who aren't even here yet, the work we're doing, the prayers that we're praying, they're not even for me, they're for them.
You're laying the foundation for their future.
Exactly, bro.
And in every respect.
Exactly. Like, we're planting trees under which we'll never sit under. We'll never be able to sit under the shade of those trees. And I think that's another Maori proverb.
I mean, in a way, you are. You're passing on your legacy.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's the earthly equivalent of immortality.
Yeah.
While we're maybe hopefully get to watch.
Yeah. Be able to bless people who will never even meet, man. And it's cool. Like, I heard it taught this way in a book, that Abraham hasn't been broke off yet. Like, he hasn't been paid yet for the prayers that he's prayed and the promise that God made him, because his descendants are still multiplying.
Everywhere.
And it's like, it's just continuous. I want prayers like that. Like, I want a legacy like that, where it's like, whoa, like the seeds are still multiplying. It's like, oh, I forgot I did that. Like, oh, it's fire.
They take it over the planet.
Yeah. Exactly.
Wildfire.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, one could hope. I hope that I have enough kids to make a dent like that.
Exactly. I mean, it's an impact that we leave, bro. It's not even just kids, like people who touch this product, people who have an understanding about the people behind this, right? The people who, even if they don't have an understanding, but people behind it. Like,
to me, if, look, we've changed a lot of lives with this. I get so much motivation just by receiving emails from people.
Yeah.
That's what keeps me going.
Yeah.
You know, we've done well in all aspects because of the fact that our number one priority is quality and making sure we take care of people.
Yeah.
We'll go above and beyond just to make sure that the person is first of all taking the right, you know, products and doing it in a way that it's going to work, because we have 30-day money back guarantees on all our products. I mean, you could drink the whole bottle and send it back and you don't like it. We don't get returns.
That's fire.
Like, it just does it. And about 80% of the people purchase the products rebuy it.
Hmm.
So what does that tell you?
Yeah.
It's something that works.
How have you been able to keep the priority on serving people without losing while keeping your focus on putting out a good product rather than making people happy? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a tightrope for sure. But ultimately, my main priority stays the same. It's product quality. We want to make sure it's a product that works. Has a good cannabinoid profile. It's hitting all the receptors. It's causing homeostasis. It's solving your issues first and foremost. We have a 30-day money-back guarantee. You could drink the whole bottle and return it. We'll give you back your money. Nobody returns it. Like, I could maybe count on, you know, a finger. The amount of it just doesn't happen. And then the people that do buy it, there's about 80% of them rebuy on a regular basis, or they'll sign up for subscription service, which is monthly reoccurring. It's a product that I believe in, like, wholeheartedly so much, and I really believe it's not a product for me. It's a product from a greater power, and I'm just the front person. I'm the face. My job is to be the servant to get it to as many people as possible, and I know that I'm on the right track, because daily I get emails, I get phone calls, people face-to-face, even at the markets. I'll go and I'll visit one of the farmers markets that we do. And I'll hear the people, just to get feedback from, you know, any product we've had, we've put them out 6 months just to get feedback first, but they'll tell us, this changed my life.
That's great.
I used to have to take Percocets. I had psoriasis. I have autoimmune issues.
That's great, bro.
I couldn't sleep. You know how important it is to sleep?
Yeah.
I mean, talk about athletes.
Yeah.
An athlete doesn't sleep. Do you think he's going to be able to play anything the next day? No. That's one of the most important. You got to recharge the batteries.
Yeah.
And what's beautiful about CBD is that you could use, it's a tool with many uses. A little bit gives you focus, clarity, and energy. Hit the day running. A little bit of MCT oil for the bioavailability, but it's also producing ketones. And no free radicals. Energy. Boom. Go. Hit the day focused, relaxed, and it's an anxiolytic, so no anxiety. End of the day, CBD is biphasic. You take a little bit more, you pass your individual threshold amount. So everybody's physiology is different. It's based on your ECS. But once you pass your personal amount, you start to get tired. Downregulates your thoughts. Helps your body relax. Then you fall into a deep, you know, sleep. So we have products for everything, you know, from day to night, and we do them in a way that you could take, you know, one bottle a month.
Yeah.
You know, the idea is that we are slowly getting people around the idea of cannabis being bad, a drug. We are presenting it in a manner that it's very much like OTC medication, Tylenol. There's no discomfort. There's no marijuana leaves on there.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. We don't want to scare anybody away from, you know, it's a plant like any other.
Yeah.
But it produces a very potent cannabinoid that we use, you know, like akin to what alkaloids that you find in coffee.
Yeah.
That people consume on a daily basis. There's no stigma against that.
I think it's so interesting, bro, that coffee has a higher dependency rate than cannabis.
Have you ever stopped taking coffee?
Like the withdrawal. I don't drink coffee. The withdrawals that I've heard from people who drink coffee, it is
my dude. I started drinking coffee when I had kids. I was in the hospital this weekend with a splitting migraine. I was like, why? It's because I hadn't drank my coffee. I was like, man, I'm like addicted to this. It makes me want to stop. But
and that's not even CBD, that's cannabis in general. That's like a scientific fact.
Well, that's coffee is what I'm saying.
I was referring, I just wanted to be specific about like just cannabis in general. Like it has a lower dependency rate than
much lower
than coffee. And There's something else that stuck out to me when writing my paper, that the cannabis isn't addictive. Cannabis is, so Schedule I drugs in the United States, Schedule I drugs are two things. They're deemed to have no medical benefit, and they're deemed to be highly addictive. Both things have been proven wrong about cannabis. We have a whole medicinal cannabis industry right now, so there's one right there. And cannabis isn't a gateway drug. The reason people may be associated with being a gateway drug is because
dare,
and then some people who smoke also do other, they might do other things.
Right.
There's also some people who just smoke. That's all they do. They're not interested in doing that. And it's also a social thing. It's a social circle thing. So the reason people take a step forward, cannabis to cocaine to pills to heroin, all of these things, and those are very big steps. Let me be clear about that. The reason they do that is because their social circles promote those things. It's not just, hey, I'm using this for a specific purpose. And the reason that I would use this, that the reason that I use CBD is for my body, to take better care of my body. Because I don't want to take pills. I don't want to pop pills. I interviewed my dad for my paper, and I want to have him on the show to talk about this and life more too. And something that was interesting to me, he was telling me the first time he took a painkiller in the NBA, he took a Voltaren. He was with the Charlotte Hornets, and he remembers, and he told me that he felt like Superman the next day. At practice, he was running around, jumping, dunking, after he took the Voltaren, after he played 35 plus minutes in the game. And he's like, wow, like this stuff works. And at a certain level of basketball, and in football too, I've heard stories from athletes in both levels, in the NBA and NFL, organizations having you know how when you walk into a dentist's office or any type of office, and they'll have like candies up front, the bowl will be filled with Advil. The bowl will be filled with Tylenol. You walk on the plane and they're handing out the Advils and Tylenol. And I want to be very clear about this. It says clearly in the Bible that the battle is not against flesh and blood. The battle is against the principalities and the evil forces in the spiritual realms. And the spiritual is attached to the mental in the way, the ideas, the thoughts, the processes that people go through in their minds. Hey, this person has a different skin color than me. They are less of a human being than me because of these things. That's really how it manifests. And it's important to confront our minds. And conversations like this help us confront our minds, because these are questions that we have. These are questions that I have, that I've had, that I've been afraid to address. And I want to shine a light on it so other people can see this conversation and be like, dang, like, we could start talking about this stuff. Let me really analyze the things that I'm afraid of. I prayed a prayer a while back, bro. And some of my friends were laughing with me about this, because I love to pray dangerous prayers. And one of the prayers I pray is like, God, I want to confront every single thing I'm afraid of. And like, shine a light on it and prove it a lie. It's been tough.
I can imagine.
It's been really tough, because he'll do it. He's like, yes,
hey, if you ask,
got you. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah.
And I know that he's not going to let me fall.
No, he'll give you reminders along the way. You'll see little things are like, okay, he's still got me.
He's orchestrating. I see one now. He's orchestrating all these things. Yeah. And it's really comforting knowing that like, you can get through that and know that, like, hey, God still got me. God is still faithful. God is still all of these things. And also, there was a season in which I was praying prayers in order to get out of facing certain things. Because it's like, God, do this. Like, I don't want to face it anymore. Just do it. Rip the Band-Aid off. And it's like, no, like, I'm at a point now where I want to sit back and feel the cut heal.
Right.
Which has more lessons in it than him just ripping the Band-Aid off.
He doesn't give us anything we can't handle or we don't need.
Exactly.
What I always think to myself, he'll give me more. And this was from a movie. I forget what movie. It was silly. It wasn't a great movie, but the quote was great. And I think about it about God. He gives us more than we deserve, but less than what we want.
He gives us more than we deserve and less than we want. I'd say this. He gives us more than we can ask, think, or imagine according to his power. He wants to spoil us. Not in the sense of spoiling something like something bad. He wants to show us how much he loves us. A prayer that I prayed as well, as much as I pray those prayers, I pray some pretty awesome prayers too. I asked God, and I got this from a friend of mine, Joseph, the one who I met in New Zealand. He said, God, I give you full permission to show me how much you love me. I give you full permission to love me in the way I need to be loved. And there have been times when I'm just weeping. I'm like, oh, this is so beautiful. I've felt overwhelmed lately. And the Holy Spirit spoken to me, the overwhelming you feel is joy.
Yeah.
It's not an overwhelming fear. It's like, yo, like, this is so good. It's like, I feel like a kid. It's like, what song, what movie is this?
There's power in freedom and surrender.
Yeah.
It's crazy. When you're at your worst or the toughest moments,
yeah,
it just thinks like, listen, I surrender to you. You show me, what am I going to do? You already know.
Yeah.
I'm here.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, I'm ready for it.
Yeah. It's, there's a song that comes to mind. It's, I think it's Real Thing by Maverick City. And one of the lyrics is, I'm losing my religion to be loved like a child. Who doesn't want that? To be loved like a child?
Unconditionally.
Unconditionally? Yeah. Spoiled? It's like, I love you this much. I'm going to give you this and this and this and this. And he gives us double our joy for the pain and the hurt we go through.
I'll be honest, having kids brought me closer to God too, because it gives you perspective on that love.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine the love that he has for us, but I have an idea. Because I experience it every day now.
Yeah.
The happiest I've been in a very long time was 2 days ago when I had my wife, my son, and my daughter in the car.
Mm.
That's it. I just know that they're all here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's all it is, man. That's happiness is, bro, like I said, 2 feet around your head.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
That's beautiful. The Holy Spirit gave me this revelation a while back. I was like, God, why do you hide things in plain sight? Not even hide things. He doesn't hide things. Why are some of these things that I'm finding out now right in front of me? Why have they been here the whole entire time? And he was saying something along the lines of like, if that's the only way I could get the credit for you seeing it. Because if it was something that we had to go and find and look for.
Then it's not a...
Oh, I went so far and found this thing. I found God.
It was me who did that as opposed
to... It was me who did it. He's like, no, like, right. I just opened your eyes to something that was right in front of you the whole entire time.
I just lifted a little blanket that, yes, was in front of you. That's all.
Yes.
It's been there. You knew
it's,
it.
It's been there.
It's the truth. It's like that saying. It's like the footprints in the sand. It's always... He's always, mm-hmm, with us. You just, sometimes you can't see it.
Exactly.
But it's, as long as you have that faith, you'll see the little signs.
Yeah.
Because he'll remind you.
Yeah.
And like the silliest things. Yeah. I'll be in the lab and I'll just be thinking stressed and I'll have my Kanye, God Is playing, just, mm-hmm, thinking about, and the scale will come out to perfectly 303.03. It's like,
yeah,
what are the odds?
It's like little things.
You know,
yeah,
1/100th of a decimal play. That's very,
yeah,
odd that it would do that. It's like,
yeah,
like, it's like, I'm, yeah, on the right track, you know, just a little, that's all I need. Yeah. The little drops of allowing me to understand him and to just have that confidence that I am doing what he wants.
Yeah.
That's all it is, man.
That's great.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I feel like that's a good place to end. Any words of encouragement you want to give the people?
You know, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah.
Anything that we could, you know, any platform we could speak and really share what this product can do, you know, for you, for me, for anybody. I think it just helps me on my mission.
Great.
You know, father and then CBD servant. So yeah. I appreciate that and I thank you.
Nice too. Mike, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Man.